December 12th, 2015. He's asking the mentors how everyone in the course is doing. Are the students stubborn? Not too stubborn? Are they practicing well? Can they separate the aggregates? There are about two that can. This is not our course, by the way. This is the Thai course. Now asking about our course. Just thinking of changing the style of the course. He's thinking for small groups like this, no need to have a resort style kind of a thing, just to all get together, come here for a morning, send in your homework, make it easier. And so he's finding, we'll change the style, it'll be easier. He says, so far he finds that Asian people take the Dhamma more seriously than Caucasians, or at least have better results. Except for me, of course. I'm just joking. So there's quite an art to the propagation of Dhamma. The Dhamma never changes, but sometimes the methods, the styles have to change depending on the mentality of the people, depending on what era it is. He's asking another, there's a group from Lopburi province asking them to put up their hand. They're doing much better today than they were yesterday. Yesterday their minds were too busy. Now they're starting to adapt, starting to learn. Everybody put up your hand from our course. Put up your hand so he can see you and hold it up. Keep your hand up. This is overall looking better. Yesterday, Lopa taught about samadhi, and there's one type of samadhi that is the most important, which is the samadhi where the mind is the stable observer, the knower, that is able to do wisdom practice. And once we're able to use this type of samadhi, will be able to do all the other types of samadhi as well, like samatha. This is a type of samadhi where we aren't lost in our thoughts, we're not lost in the things that we see, we're not lost in the things we hear, the things we taste, or lost in whatever stories are going on in our mind, not lost in what the body feels. See, normally people, when we see a body, when we see bodies outside ourselves, when we see different sights, our mind will get lost in what we see. It'll get lost in what we hear. When we have flavor in our mouth, our mind will get lost in the flavor. And when we're feeling things of the body, the mind will get lost. And when we're in thought, in our stories, the mind gets lost in the stories. what's happening is the mind is getting lost in the five senses and in thought all day long. And it's just moving from one to the other, to the other, to the other, lost in each. The mind moves towards these things, moves out and into these things, the senses and into thoughts. And when we're lost in these things, we're not able to see mental and physical phenomena as they actually are. Like when we're watching a movie in a computer or in the TV, our mind slides into the movie. Our mind is out in the movie and in the stories. We don't know our own body and mind at that time. We forgot about our body and mind. All we know is the story. What's actually happening is one moment the eyes are seeing the TV, another moment the ears are hearing the sounds that are coming out, then our mind moves into thought and interprets the story. The mind is moving very quickly between all these things, but isn't coming to know the body or the mind. It's forgotten about the body of mind. The mind is moving around outside of itself, and it isn't the stable observer. But the stable observer is one that doesn't slide out or move out to the senses or into thought. But what is important is it isn't being controlled so that it doesn't go out. It doesn't go out naturally. It doesn't get lost in the stories. It doesn't get lost in the senses, but it isn't being controlled. So he's going to make a face of people that are forcing the mind not to go out to the senses or to the thoughts. See, this is too tight and dull. This is incorrect. This is incorrect samadhi. There's too much force, and it's done out of greed. I want to practice. I want to be a good person. The mind actually is totally taken over by impurities and defilements, trying to force the mind still. Or sometimes we use the power of the mind to push the body out as a separate thing, or using energy to pull the mind out of the body. None of these things are correct. Whenever we're using some sort of force to try and make the state the way that we want it, then we're not practicing correctly. See, the true watcher, the true fresh and awakened one, is one where the body and mind are separate, where the mind is the knower without any control. The mind is light. It's weightless, and if there's a little bit of weight or heaviness to the mind, that means that we're forcing a little bit, we're controlling a little bit. If there's a lot of tightness and a lot of heaviness, that means we're controlling a lot. But the true knower is one that is gentle and is agile and is light. And if it's not these things, if it's dull or stiff, then it's not the true knower or observer. The mind has to be able to move naturally. We have to be able to let it go. So the characteristics are this knower is something that is not lazy. It's agile. It's not dull. It's not tight. It is something that is gentle, agile, light and bright. It's not lazy, it's diligent to be a practice. It's appropriate for practicing Dhamma. Light, gentle, agile, and active, not lazy, too, and diligent in the practice, being able to see the body and see the mind. This is appropriateness for work, it's called. So if it's stiff or rigid, for example, then it isn't appropriate for work, it's too stiff. And one more characteristic is that it is very able to directly experience the body and mind without interfering with them. See, with samatha, we choose an object of attention, but with vipassana, we don't choose an object of attention. Objects are coming and going all the time, physical and mental phenomena are passing by, and we're not choosing any particular object. Because we're not just watching the body and mind in vipassana, we're seeing the true characteristics of body and mind, or rupa and nama. So if we're seeing rupa and nama, or body and mind, then that's samatha. But if we're seeing the true characteristics of body or mind, that's vipassana. For example, this body that we're observing appears as not us. We're seeing that mental phenomena that come up are being oppressed by the mind, cannot persist. Then that's vipassana, watching the heart moving, watching the emotions changing, and seeing that they're always changing, seeing that they're not under control. That's vipassana, seeing the characteristics. And this knower, this observer, light, bright, gentle, agile, appropriate for work, and not interfering, able to honestly see what is there without interfering, knowing things as they actually are. Now, this type of mind that has this type of samadhi, there are the way to do this, to achieve this type of mind, is pick an object of attention that makes us feel happy and comfortable. For example, Buddha, perhaps, as a mantra. We can use the same object that we use for the regular samatha practice, where we keep the object of it in our attention for some rest and peace. But this time, we're not looking for peace. In this case, what we're looking for is to see the mind that moves out, moves away from the object of attention. So the mind moves into thought, we know so. The mind moves into a space of emptiness, we know so. The mind moves to any of the senses, we know so. Then the mind will become in this correct state of samadhi that was described, because naturally the mind is always moving to the senses and into thought. But the amazing thing is, when we're able to see the mind that moves to the senses or to thought, then the mind becomes the correct observer in that moment. So the mind that is the stable observer is the one that isn't moving into phenomena. But it's not the stable observer in the sense that it's being held as the observer. It's just the stable observer because it sees a mind that isn't stable. And what's a mind that isn't stable? It's a mind that is moving or sliding towards, moving into thought or to the senses, or moving out towards things. So normally, people will practice a mantra or practice watching the breath so that they can feel comfortable, happy, and peaceful. And that's fine, that's called samatha. But in this case, we're preparing the mind for wisdom. So we can still use the breath if we like, for example. When we use the breath, we are happy watching the breath, but then the mind moves into thought, we know so. The mind moves to see, we know so. The mind moves out to anything, we know so, and we'll achieve this observer. We're not holding the mind at the breath. We're noticing after it moves instead. So if we're watching the breath, we're watching the body breathing, and then we can see the mind move towards the breath and focus in at the breath. The mind will become the stable observer when we're able to see that phenomena of the mind moving towards the breath. Technically, this is restlessness of mind that makes it move out to different phenomena. And that is the normal nature of everyone's mind except for an enlightened being, an arahant's mind. Arahants have a mind that isn't sent out, that doesn't waver, and has full fruition of samadhi. Everybody else, your minds are moving out to things when it's being natural. So let's not force the mind to not move. Let's let the mind move and then know that it has, again and again. Right? So the mind, many people, their mind are coming out to the master. We can see that it's moved out. Now what do we do if we're not able to see the mind move out? It's always moving out to the eyes, to the ears, to thought, but sometimes we're not able to see it. So how should we try to be able to see it? Well, let's sit in a relaxed way. Try to move your attention to your hair now. And try to know that, okay, now the mind is with the hair, the feeling is with the hair. And now let's move our attention to somewhere else. Let's see if we can move our attention now to the ears. Let's move the attention to the nose. You can move the attention to the hand, to the feet. Practice moving the mind so you can get comfortable understanding what it's like to see this moving of the mind. In the future, when the mind moves to the hand or to the foot on its own, we'll be able to see that it's done so. We're going to try something else now. You'd like everybody now to sit and not think. Come on, stop the thinking. Are you thinking? Of course you're thinking, right? The mind moved to think. It tried not to think, but it still thought. Right, so we're getting to see this phenomenon of the mind moving to different things. Mostly, we will move to thinking. That's what we move to the most. And especially while we're sitting and meditating, we'll move to thinking most. We won't move to seeing or other or tastes, because there aren't very many interesting things to see or taste while we're meditating. Our mind will go to think. Unless we're sitting there meditating and then there's a strange noise in the mind, we'll move out to that noise. So let's get to see this mind that moves out to different things, especially moving out to think. And then once it does that, come to know that it has. So keep practicing this. If we're able to see this mind that moves, then the mind will not move without any attempt or control, any effort at all. And the mind will be light and bright and gentle and agile. It'll be a mind that is fit for work and honestly seeing phenomena, truly wholesome without any defilements, awake, aware, the knower. This is a high quality mind. And this is the high quality mind that is necessary to see the body and mind as they really are and gain our wisdom. If the mind is of low quality, then we won't be able to see the true characteristics of body and mind. We'll just see the body or the mind. For example, if we're watching the rising and falling of the abdomen, rising, falling, if our mind isn't of the correct quality, then it'll just slide down into things, and what we'll see is just the abdomen rising and falling, but we won't see the true characteristics. Samadhi is the proximate cause for wisdom to occur. But samadhi has to be the correct type of samadhi. It has to be samma samadhi. Right? Some people do very foolish types of samadhi, incorrect samadhi, where they're looking out at the world, not allowing themselves to think. Right? Then they see people, they don't even know if it's their friend in front of them, they might think it's a ghost in front of them, they can make their minds crazy. Allow the mind to be natural, and the natural mind will move to different things. If we have a meditation object, the mind will slide towards the meditation object, we know so. The mind slides or moves into thought, we know so. Or the mind moves to the feet, we know so. The mind moves to the whole body, kind of all at once, we know so. Some people do that. They hold their attention above their body and then try to watch the entire body as a whole. Yeah, that's wrong too. If we don't have correct samadhi, then we won't be able to truly walk the path of wisdom that the Buddha set out. So the mind will just be the observer. What is it observing? Noticing the body and mind as they are, noticing the body and the mind as they're fluctuating and changing, seeing the true characteristics. But if the mind is not correctly poised as the stable observer and it's lost in the phenomena, it won't be able to see the truth of them. It's sort of like somebody that's in a river and they're right inside the river. They won't be able to see what's going on clearly. But if they're outside of the river at a bit of a distance and they're able to watch the river, then they'll be able to see the movement of the river, what's in the river. But if we're right down in the river, we won't be able to see clearly. We have to see as like an outside observer, or like we're on a building in the city and we're standing on the building, we can look down and we can see all the movement of traffic. But if we're actually standing in the middle of the road, we'll have a much more difficult time. We won't be able to see the true situation clearly. We'll probably get hit by a car, and it'll be more stressful. We won't be able to see clearly. So we need this stable observer, separate observer, to watch physical and mental phenomenon clearly. We won't be able to walk the path of wisdom without this correct samadhi. The mind has to be the knower, the awakened one. If we don't have this, then whatever it is that we're looking at or observing as our meditation object, we'll be focusing in on it. It'll never be vipassana. If we're watching the feet, we'll be focused in on the feet. If we're watching the breath, we'll be focused on the breath. If we're watching the abdomen, we'll be focused on the abdomen. That's one style of person that just focuses in on whatever object. Other people that practice wrongly are just happy in the comfort and the peace and sort of put their mind into a daze. Maybe they'll see angels and ghosts, but sometimes they're just seeing their own imagination. Can't even tell if it's something real or not. So let's make sure that we practice correctly. Let's not be worried that we're not going to develop as quick as we'd like to if we have to build the right quality of mind. We have to build the right quality of mind, otherwise we're wasting our time. So every day, let's practice formally for 15 minutes a day at least, and watch the mind that is moving out to think, moving out to the meditation object. And then we'll be able to be a knower without intending to, because we'll be able to see easily that movement. Samadhi arises every time that we're able to automatically see this mind that is moving to phenomena, to the senses, to thought, to the meditation object. If we don't have this samadhi, then we won't be able to walk the path of wisdom. Okay, that's enough for now.